I have a confession to make. I love jigsaw puzzles. Now, some of you are saying, I hear you, me too. And some of you are going, oh, jigsaw puzzles. You know the kind I mean, right? Even whether you love them or hate them, my guess is you've done one, at least one in your life, or maybe started one. And for me, the bigger, the better. You know, thousands of pieces, time-consuming. The ones that take up my dining room table for weeks, maybe months, until my wife gets so frustrated, she says, just put that thing away. But there's something about a puzzle, especially an unfinished puzzle. Once it's done, it's like, yeah, whatever, put it back in the box. But that unfinished puzzle, it draws me to it. I want to go pick up a piece and figure out where it goes. Sometimes I'll sit there for hours. You're trying the piece here. You know, some of you are nodding. You're like jigsaw puzzles too, right? And then you finally realize, oh, I don't know where that one goes. You pick up another one. I wonder where this one goes. And you're trying to match the colors, and you're looking at the box, and you're looking at the picture, and trying to figure it out. And I can't leave it alone. I want to finish it. Now, you might be wondering, what does this have to do with the Word of God? We've been studying the Great Commission, right? Well, not last week. Pastor Bob was here last week. Thank you for taking good care of him. He said he had a great time here with you. But the week before that and the week before that, we've been looking at Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And you remember what we've been learning, right? Quick review. As we go, make disciples. We've learned that every believer, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, is a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is, a believer. And every single believer, every single disciple, should be making disciples. As we learned in week one. And then week two, we looked at how. How does that work? What does God want us to do? How do we make disciples? And we saw that it starts by telling people about Jesus and persuading them to put their trust in Him as Lord and Savior. But it doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning. It's like a puzzle that you've started, and maybe you've got the border done, right? You're on the outside, and maybe a couple of the main pieces are starting to take shape. That's kind of where the disciple is once they've reached that point of salvation. There's a good foundation. The structure is there. We can even look at the box and we know what it's going to look like when it's done, right? And we know how big it's going to be because we got that outside border done now, and we're starting to see something. But it's not finished. It's nowhere near finished. There's a lot of pieces yet that we don't know where they go. That's what salvation is like. It's not the end of the process. It's an amazing step. I mean, the angels rejoice whenever someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But it's not the end of the process. It's just the beginning. We're not just selling fire insurance to people and saying, hey, yay, you're saved now. You won't go to hell when you die. No, there is so much more to do. We don't want to leave the job half done. We want to finish it. So let's look at our text again, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And we'll see if we can wrap this up today. You're probably getting fairly familiar with this now if you've been with us over the last few weeks. This is what the Word of God says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." those last two verses, verses 19 and 20, we call them the Great Commission. As you go, wherever you go, as you go about your daily lives, make disciples, make followers of Jesus Christ, make believers in Jesus Christ. Of all nations, of all peoples, of everyone we meet. No favoritism, not just the people we like. Everyone needs to hear the Word of God. And then it says, baptizing them. Telling people about Jesus, persuading them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then baptizing them as that sign, that outward expression of the inward reality of their lives. Every believer should be baptized. It's the way we show the world that we are a follower of Christ. And we're not afraid to show them. It's not a secret. But then we get to verse 20, and this is where we're going to sit today. It says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. As you go, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, the process of discipleship continues after the baptizing, after the salvation. The process continues with teaching. Teaching them. Teaching who? The disciples. The people that you're discipling. Teaching them. That word teaching, if you look at the way it's used through the rest of the New Testament, it talks about speaking in public assemblies, kind of like I'm doing right now. But it also talks about directing, giving direction to people's lives and admonishing people, making them aware of that which they don't know or maybe that they need to be reminded of. Teaching them to what? To obey. That word obey is such a little word, and yet it has so much meaning. It means to keep watch. It means to guard or to heed or to observe. To keep, not just to keep, but to keep strictly. To preserve. To store up and to maintain. That's all wrapped up in that word, to obey. Then it says to obey everything. Not just the parts we like, but everything, all things, the whole gospel in all respects. Everything I have commanded you, everything Jesus is speaking here, right? Everything Jesus has commanded. Some different scholars have tried to go through the Gospels and count up how many different commands did Jesus give us. Because if we're going to teach what God has commanded us, we better know what they are, right? Well, they all have a different number because it's kind of hard to put them all together and they appear multiple times in different Gospels. Anyways, the smallest number I found was 31, 31 commandments. The largest number I found was 63. That's a lot, but it's more than just that. You see, the commands of Jesus are what? The words of God, because Jesus is God. The words of God are the commandments of Jesus. And we know that the entire scriptures are the word of God. Now that's a lot to teach. Disciples are supposed to teach everything that the Bible says. The entire Word of God. We're supposed to teach disciples to obey the entire Word of God. This is how Jesus intended for discipleship to happen. I mean, it's in the Great Commission. They're Jesus' words. We're supposed to teach each other to know and understand the Word of God. We're supposed to teach each other how to become more like Jesus. How to be Christ-like. That word Christian means follower of Christ. One who wants to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We do that by following the commands of Jesus, the commands that are in the Bible. They teach us how to become more like Jesus. So it starts with salvation. It starts with telling people about Jesus, persuading them that they need to put their faith and their trust in Him as their Savior and Lord. But then the real work begins, right? That teaching process takes time, takes energy. And it takes all of us to do it. Can you imagine if one person had to teach everything that the Word of God said to everybody? That's impossible. Every single one of us, every single believer, every single disciple, see, that's why we're all supposed to make disciples, because we all have to take a part in this teaching. We all have an important part to play in the process. No matter where you are on your path of discipleship, whether you're a brand new believer, just beginning to learn, or whether you've been a believer your whole life, and your life's been long, we all have an important part to play as we disciple others. As we teach others, as we teach them the Word of God. All right, where are my ushers? I need some help. They know about this. We're gonna pass something around again. Don't worry, I'm not taking a second offering. This is actually, you get to take something. As these baskets come around, I want you to reach inside, and I want you to take out a puzzle piece. Okay? There's enough for everyone. Every one of you, I want you to reach in that basket. Now, don't search for the best one. Just take one. There's not one with the back that says you win a prize. No, they're all the same. You're each going to take out a piece of this puzzle. Everyone, kids, adults, everyone, take a piece of this puzzle. Yeah, just one. And as you get your piece, I know it's going to take a minute to get up to the front here, but they're coming. As you get your piece, I want you to take a look at it. Take a look at that piece of the puzzle and think about what do you think that little piece of the puzzle is going to look like when it's put together with all the other pieces. Now, if you got a piece like mine, I got some brown and some red, a little bit of green. If I didn't already know what the picture looked like, I would have no idea. Now, some of you might have the head of a bird on your piece of the puzzle. And so you're thinking, well, I bet I know what this puzzle is. Some of you are like me, you got a brown piece or a sky piece or a background piece, and you have no idea. But look at it. Look at that piece of the puzzle. Now, if we put them all together, do we all have one yet? If we put them all together, it'll look like this. Now look at your piece of the puzzle. Can you kind of figure out? See, now I know that my brown and the red there is probably part of that cardinal down sitting on that fence there. You might be able to figure out where your piece goes because you can see the bigger picture now, right? Yeah, they're all going to have this figured out by the end of the sermon, right? Now, here's a couple other questions about your piece of the puzzle. Do you have an easy piece or a hard piece? You see, sometimes we get a hard piece of the puzzle and we're like, I have no idea where it's part of that white stuff. I don't know, it could be anywhere. Sometimes we get a corner piece and we think, oh, this is easy. There's four options, right? Or at least it's an edge piece. I know it goes around the outside. Those are the easy pieces. Or the, you know, you got the head of the bird I talked about earlier. We know where those go. Some are easy. Some are hard. You may be thinking, hey, my piece looks pretty important. You know, without my piece of the puzzle, that picture wouldn't make any sense. You know, it's like the head of the biggest bird on there. and I got that piece. Sometimes our pieces of the puzzle seem more important. And sometimes we look at it and go, it's pretty insignificant. But if even one piece of the puzzle is missing, it ruins the whole puzzle, doesn't it? Look at this picture. It's a beautiful castle. In fact, I remember as a child, I think we had this one in my house. It's beautiful, but there's a piece missing, isn't there? It kind of wrecks the whole thing. It's not even a significant piece. It's just a piece of those orange trees over there. But without that piece of the puzzle, it's incomplete. You could put a coffee cup there. No one would notice. But it would still be unfinished. No matter what piece of this puzzle that I gave you, you have in your hand, it's important to complete the entire picture. Every single piece is needed. I want you to hang on to these. You can take this home with you. You can stick it in your wallet. You can throw it in the garbage if you want. But you can stick it in your wallet or in your purse or maybe stick it on your desk. Because I want you look at these little pieces of this puzzle, I want you to remember that we all have a part to play in the discipleship of others. We all hold a piece of that puzzle. You can drop your piece on the floor, and maybe someone else will pick it up and take care of it, or maybe it'll be lost forever, and that piece will forever be left undone. Because discipleship is like a puzzle. And each one of us has this part to play as we speak into the lives of each other, teaching each other everything that the Word of God says. Every one of you is a significant part of discipleship. Whether you think you got an important piece of the puzzle or a seemingly insignificant piece, they are all important. Whether you're an upfront kind of person, everyone sees what you're doing all the time, and that seems important. Or you're kind of, things happen in the background, no one even knows what you do. It's all important to the process of discipleship. Every one of us has a part to play, and every one of us is important and necessary. Otherwise, the process will never be complete. And it's a lifelong process. Kind of like those puzzles on my dining room table. My wife thinks it's a lifelong process. That puzzle's been there forever. But the process of discipleship really is going to take forever. Every one of us needs to disciple until we die, and we need to be discipled until the day we die, or until Christ returns, whichever comes first. The job is never finished. None of us ever get to the point and say, I'm done. Look at that. Until the end comes. Until Christ returns or until we meet Him in glory. And some of you, I know, have been doing this thing for a long, long time. You've been faithfully discipling and speaking to people's lives, and you think, I'm tired, and I think it's time for someone else to do it. I don't know, anyone know Timothy Starr? It's an old name. I'll never forget when he said this. He said, if you're not dead, you're not done. It's never finished. The process is never complete. Either in our lives or in what we need to do for others, we need to continually teach and disciple others. It's what the church is all about. That's our job. We're supposed to disciple each other. We're supposed to teach each other, admonish one another, encourage one another, build each other up. And then as we do this, we strengthen and build up the body of Christ, the church. Remember, the church is the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. And as we speak into each other's lives, as we disciple each other and encourage each other, the body becomes stronger and healthier, and it grows and is strengthened. That's what discipleship does, and we all have an important part to play in that process. Don't leave the job half done. Don't stop once we go, oh, they're saved. Hallelujah. Teach each other how to follow the commands of Christ, how to become more and more like Christ Jesus. The Word of God, the entire Word of God, is something we all need to know and know it well, because it's the only roadmap we have to know how to live for Christ. So let's do it. Let's disciple one another. Let's figure out what our piece of the puzzle is. Figure out where it goes. We have the big picture. We know. We can look at the box. We can look at the Bible and we say, this is what a disciple is supposed to look like. A fully devoted follower of Christ. What can each of us do? How has God gifted you to speak into the lives of others? And then do it. Don't wait for an invitation. Don't wait for someone to approach you and say, hey, I've noticed that you're really good at it. No. If you know what you can do for God, what you can do to disciple each other, then just do it. You don't need my permission or the elder's permission or anything else. Just do what God has laid on your heart. Don't leave the job half done. Teach each other how to follow Christ's commands. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we know that we are called to make disciples. We know we are called to tell people about Jesus. We know we are called to teach them. Teach them how to obey your commands. Lord, strengthen us and encourage us. Give us everything we need to fulfill the Great Commission, to do everything you have called us to do, Lord Jesus. Give us the courage, the knowledge, the wisdom, the patience, everything we need. Lord, we ask for you to give it to us so that we can do the job you have asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful, wonderful words of life. They come from the Scriptures. And we're commanded to make disciples as we go about our lives, to tell people about Jesus and persuade them to put their trust in Him, and then to teach them everything, all of those wonderful words. Those words that bring life. So that we can all become more like Jesus Christ. So teach each other. Admonish each other. Encourage each other. Build each other up. Strengthen and build up the body of Christ. A little overwhelming if we have to do it on our own, isn't it? But we don't. We have each other. We do it together. It's like a group of people sitting around a puzzle. It goes a lot faster than one person trying to figure it out on his own. It's more than that. We have more than just each other to help us in this process. You'll notice I didn't really finish the passage, some of you who know the passage well. The second half of verse 20 says, and surely, this is Jesus speaking, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, it always comes back to Jesus. It's not just about us and our gifts and our strengths, although God gives us those to use for Him. Jesus promises to be with each one of us right until the end. Through the Holy Spirit indwelling us, living in us, giving us everything we need to do everything He asks us to do, Jesus is there doing it through us. It's not really us at all. It's the Holy Spirit, it's God working through each of us as believers as we teach and disciple each other. So take heart in that. We don't do it alone, we do it as a group, and we do it with the power of Jesus Christ living in us. So it should be easy. The power of Jesus Christ is stronger than anything else. So hold on to that. Every time it gets hard, every time it gets stressful, or you think you can't do it, remember Jesus' words. He is with you always to the very end of the age. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you.